afternoon, everyone, and thank you so much for joining me on Hashtag No Limits. Hashtag No Limits is about people who society has placed limits upon, but who have busted through those limits. Ophelia says in Hamlet, we know who we are, but not who we will be. And I believe that to be 100% true, and that there is no better example of that than the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. The caterpillar literally dissolves into its cells and then reforms into the butterfly. And as all of that is not challenging enough, it then has to struggle in order for the strength in its wings to be able to fly once it gets out of the cocoon. None of that can be easy, but neither is busting through the limits that society places upon a person. And today I'm excited to bring you my guest, Anne Mitchell. Anne is a fellow master IEP coach like myself, and that is how we were able to connect with one another. But she has a very interesting story, and she's going to share that with you. While she's doing that, I will be popping up. Actually, it's already there. I forgot to take it down before we started. Her website and her Facebook page are already pulled up. But I will talk about those a little bit later on and give the actual addresses for those of you who are just listening on this as a in the podcast form. So, Anne, enough babbling from me. Welcome. Thank you for joining me. How are you today?
Thank you, Shelley. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I am doing well. Now, you are in Colorado. Is that correct?
Yes. Just south of Denver, about a half hour.
Okay. So it's 55 degrees here in the Midwest. What is it like there?
Usually it's on my computer. It's 49 degrees right now. It's kind of cloudy. Yeah.
So no snow for you guys then either.
No, usually it's up in the mountains.
We had some flurries a couple of days ago, but we really have not gotten the snow, which is disappointing to me, but it is what it is. So that's not what this podcast is about. So let's find out. Anne, tell us about your family.
Well, we are actually, my husband is a retired military. And we came to Colorado from Japan. We were spread out all over. We actually met in Panama. And we recently celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary.
Okay, time out. You said your husband is retired military. What were you doing in Panama?
Well, actually, I have 12 years in the military. We're both Air Force.
Okay. So, well, thank you both for your service.
Thank you. And we met there and flew home and got married a couple of years later. And and that's the story.
All right.
Over the years, we've ended up with four kids. They're all now in their 20s. The oldest is actually 29 and he is getting married this summer.
Oh, so, fantastic. Exciting stuff.
A lot of exciting things happening this year. Talking about my four kids, we had two, a boy and a girl, the perfect family, right? And now we doubled our pleasure and ended up having twins after that. My husband's a twin and my granddad's a twin. Okay. But since I was beyond 30, they blamed it on me for some reason. I don't know.
Okay.
But...
not heard of that before,
I don't know.
Okay.
They do that, I guess. I don't know.
It's always mom's fault. Whatever it is, it's mom's fault. We all know that.
No matter. Yeah. Over the years, I have been, I first started teaching in a preschool in Japan, and the teacher I worked with, it just, the way she taught, I just loved her way of getting the kids' attention because the kids were all special needs. It was a preschool for kids with disabilities through the Dodd School.
And Dodd, just for anybody who doesn't know, stands for Department of Defense Dependent Schools.
Yes.
Thank you. So she was teaching on the base where they were living. Just
yes, yes. Yep. So that made me go back to school. And become a special educator myself. So when we came back to the States here in Colorado, I finished up my student teaching and became a special ed teacher. That lasted for about 5 years. And then as my kids were growing, the younger two were now going into middle school, and one of them ended up struggling emotionally. Mm. She couldn't keep herself safe, and things like that. So we decided that it would be me that stayed home and to keep her safe and drive her to appointments and things like that. She ended up not being able to attend public school. She was in a residential setting for most of her middle school years and into high school. When she returned home, I never did go back to the public school setting, teacher atmosphere. So I've been home 10 years now. Okay. And as she grew, she was able to, you know, do her therapy, get on medication, on an IEP. So I was kind of on both sides of the table, as you would say, as a teacher and as a parent. And then I chose to stay home, but financially, I needed to do something. So I started tutoring at the library after my husband got home from work. I would go after the kids got home from school. I would go to the library and tutor maybe one or two kids every night. And I was, that still wasn't doing, you know, what we needed financially. So I found someone that was tutoring online. So I kind of played with that. And I've been tutoring online since 2017, even before COVID. Wow. So when COVID hit, I was busier than a chicken with a head cut off.
I bet.
All these parents were, can you help? Can you help? And of course, I helped as best I could.
That's awesome.
And then I supported my grandson, one of my daughters and my grandson lives with us right now. So I helped him during the virtual time. So, yeah, that's life in a nutshell around here.
Wow. So it sounds like there's a lot of stuff going on at your house all the time.
Yeah, there is, definitely.
So what? So you said that your daughter was having trouble getting, struggling with her emotions. So she ended up in a residential facility. Mm-hmm. Can you walk us through the process? I mean, it isn't just like, boom, okay, she has some emotional struggles and now we're going to put her in a residential facility. I mean, I'm guessing right. that there was quite a long yeah. process actually.
Well, we started with some accommodations and like the RTI process, even they had to try a few things before she actually got onto an IEP. They gave her like a fast pass. So when she needed to leave the classroom, she would drop one of these passes off on the teacher's desk and she would go. They had a quiet setting in the social workers office area. Mm-hmm. So she would go and hang out there until she felt a little bit better. Over time, even that was a little bit too hard for her. She just couldn't follow the steps to leave the classroom appropriately. Over time, she was starting to self-harm. Mm-hmm. And the word suicide would always come into, I don't know how to, I don't know. She would say, well, I'm going to do this. I am going to, and the suicide word was used. And mm-hmm. so if that word is used in our district anyway, they automatically have to call law enforcement.
Okay.
So, but since she was in middle school, they ended up taking her to the emergency room. And then the emergency room would contact a psychiatrist, a social worker, and then they would do a medical screening to see if she's able to stay at home, if she's safe enough, or go into a hospital setting. In Colorado, they do have like a behavioral for kids and adults around the area. But when she first started having these, there were very few around. Nowadays, there are quite a lot more due to funding and people understanding mental health and it coming able to people to talk about it more.
Right.
There's more availability for teenagers now to receive support outside of the school setting. So,
well, that's good.
That's pretty much. And then she would go for, I don't know, a week or two in one of these nearby facilities and do okay. She would come home. She would try school for a couple hours. And it was just this big circle. It happened so many times. There's a couple different ways that therapists help even adults. One is cognitive behavioral therapy. Other one is DBT, which is dialectic, I believe, behavioral therapy. And that was the one that, and then there's EMR, which is the eye movement one. There's one or two more that I believe. Since she's turned 18, she's now turning 24 this next month. So since she's was 18 and beyond, the adult thing was really scary. But she's taken it on with a good thing. She's lowered all of her medication. She's actually living on her own. She graduated high school with a music, a letter for music.
That's awesome.
Yeah. She did great. Those first few years, we thought as mom and dad were on an island that nobody else was struggling like we were struggling.
Right.
But now it's amazing what she's doing. She's working full time, paying her bills.
That's fantastic.
Once in a while, she'll have a little bump in the road, but everybody does, you know?
Sure.
Even probably you and I. But
oh, yeah.
We have our good days and bad days, but her bad days might last a day or two longer than us. But
right.
She's able to use those skills, and she's got some of her medication she takes makes her tired at night. So she's self-advocating, and she's contacted the HR department for the store that she works with and has actually gotten an accommodation of not having to work past a certain hour in the evening.
Okay,
so then that way she can stay consistent on the time of her medication, and she's doing great.
That is so awesome. And honestly, Anne, that's not a story that I hear. That's not an outcome that I hear with the beginning of that story.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do want to encourage anyone who is listening that, you know, and if you don't mind, I would like to go back and kind of talk about what it was like for you. I know you said it was like being on an island for you and your husband, but just like what it did to your whole family and the decision-making process to place her in the residential facility and then the length of time that she was there, because I believe that most people think, you know, well, I shouldn't say I think there's two different camps when it comes to residential facilities. Like, oh, you just don't care enough about your child, and so you shipped them off for somebody else to take care of.
Right.
Or there's the, oh my gosh, what a, you know, like you become a martyr because you've recognized that your child would benefit from being in a residential facility. So can you, do you mind walking us through like what that was like I said, for your family, for you as mom, for her twin, like how does her twin deal with all of this?
Well, her twin, actually, they are completely opposite. The only thing that's alike is their birthday. One's a redhead and one's a brunette. And yeah.
Oh, wow.
There, you would never know unless somebody asked, when's your birthday? And they both say the same day.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, I always bring up two different episodes that we had to deal with her that they were really hard to go through. And the first one was she knew where my sewing materials were.
Okay.
She actually enjoyed the church groups. So like when they went to the parks, we allowed her to go to the park and attend the church groups with her peers. The one time that I wish I didn't was she had found a sewing needle and decided to swallow it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So we ended up in the emergency room once again, and they did a scope and got it out. Thank goodness it didn't hurt any of her organs or anything. That was time number one. There's other times, but these are the two times I always bring up because it's not that we sent her off to get rid of her.
Right.
The fire department, the police department knew who we were, you know, because they were always coming to the house. And the one time they came to the house, they found her in the closet with a belt around her neck.
Oh, no.
That was part two. So it's not that that was in the house. She was in her room.
Right.
I mean, we had other kids in the house. We had pets in the house. You know, we were a normal family. Except we were dealing with someone with mental health issues. She never wanted to hurt anyone else. She always took it out on herself. And because she was doing it to herself, her twin sister always wondered if she was going to get this, you know, because she was in middle school as well, and she didn't know any better. But she thought maybe because they were twins, she might. I don't know.
Right.
You know, like chicken pox.
She had the same trait inside of her or something. Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
So that was one of the first questions that came up with her. And when she learned that, no, it's you guys are totally different. But what the steps were, if she felt bad, you know, to make sure she comes and talks to us. So residential, she couldn't stay in middle school or she couldn't stay in the public school and be able to keep herself safe. She couldn't stay in the classroom long enough to learn anything, even with accommodations. So what a residential setting does was she stays there. She lives there. And what they do is they use the cognitive behavioral training to allow there's usually a group of girls because it's girls and then it's boys. And they have classes throughout the days. So she's earning high school credit as she's attending. And then we're able to have virtual meetings like once a week because they don't want them to get into the old habits again. Okay. So they kind of keep us separate for a while and then kind of build it up over time. There were a few places that were out of state. So there was one in Nevada and one in Texas. And we would do the virtual meetings every week. And then every month, one of us would fly over there and meet with the therapist and her. So, wow.
So yeah. she lived in those other states for periods of time.
Yeah. It just depends insurance wise, who accepts our insurance and the plane and the travel. And yeah, it was all covered underneath our insurance. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's from an outsider's perspective, that's heartbreaking to hear that your child was, you know, an airplane ride away.
Right. Right. Yeah.
But if that was the appropriate environment and that was what was best for everybody, you know, then it's like, okay, well, that's a good thing. <You know? laughs> So how long was she, because you mentioned Texas and you mentioned, and I forgot the other state you mentioned.
Nevada.
Oh, that's what I was thinking. So how long was she in those states?
Nevada, she was there for, I think, 60 days.
Okay.
Texas, she was there for much longer. It was centered more for children. She was there much longer.
And is that, I know Texas, you said, you know, that insurance was a big player in going to these different locations. Mm-hmm. Was there anything else that caused the moves?
Well, it just depends on what her, like, I know that there are several, like, eating disorder places. So whatever her major disability or self-harming was happening. So, it's just the therapists are focused on what she was struggling with.
Gotcha. Okay. I was just curious if there had been like something, some episode that had precluded her moving, if it was, or if it was more really just about the insurance.
Well, we had a caseworker that, through our insurance that knew she was in the mental health field, that knew where the best places were.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
As she grew and got older. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is so important to have people who have knowledge.
Yeah.
Because it is impossible to know everything, for one person to know everything. Right. And when you can bring in, I mean, I know the old saying, it takes a village to raise a child, but it really does, especially if that child has any needs outside the quote unquote norm population.
Yeah.
And you know, there. I was just speaking to someone earlier today about even the amount of resources that are available, and that we as educators need to do a better job of reaching out to the parents of our students, because those parents probably are doing extra research and they are, you know, involved with other therapists and other professionals who have told them, hey, try this or do this or get this apparatus or that curriculum, you know, and that as educators, we really need to listen to that and not be fearful of that information, that somehow we're not doing the right thing, because we all want to do the right thing. But if we don't know what's out there and there's no way to know everything that's out there, then we pull in those resources of the parents and we look at other things to work with the kids and help every child reach their fullest potential. And that brings me back to your story and how, how beautifully it ends.
Yeah.
Because as I said, I don't hear that sort of outcome with a story that starts the way that your daughter starts.
Yeah. Not as much as she hurt herself.
Yeah.
We are amazed at what she has accomplished, and you know, praise God every day,
right?
for what she has. And there's always a saying, he doesn't give you any more than what you can handle. So he was really tempting us, but
yeah,
I mean, there's some days, how come you chose us? But right? Over, I mean, now you see what has come. I am able to help others that are going through the same thing that I did, whether it's just a shoulder to cry on or an ear to listen on the phone. I can support. Yeah.
And again, that's so important. I am not a parent of a child with a special need, but as you mentioned, I've heard that from so, so many parents who have a child that is eligible for special education, that you feel like you're on an island.
And with her mental health, the same like with dyslexia, you don't think anything is wrong. She looks like everybody else, you know?
Yeah.
And not that someone with physical disabilities has any other barriers more than she has, but, you know, at least you can see that they may need, you know, a door held open or something like that. So,
yeah. And so how does all of that affect you as mom when you're going through all of that stuff?
Back then, there were days, I mean, I had to make sure that I took care of myself first.
Yeah.
You hear, like, even with an infant, you hear, make sure you take a nap when baby's sleeping. You know, it's like,
right,
definitely get your rest, because it doesn't matter how dirty the dishes are. You know, I mean, you know, get your rest. I never listened to that back then, but with four kids, I'm a neat freak.
Right.
But yeah, you have to reach out for help. When my husband was TDY, well, he would go off base and do whatever his job was and then come back a couple weeks later. So I learned not to sweat the small stuff over the years.
Can you give examples of what you're considering small stuff? Because I think that might help some of the listeners. Like, oh, yeah, okay, this really, in the grand scheme of things, is not that big of a deal.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a neat freak, but, like, well, over the last, I'd say 6 months, we've lost a couple of our dogs. Oh. So now we don't have a dog in the house to pick up the little,
yeah,
you know, underneath the table, I hate to say. But now that there's mostly just my husband and I left in the house. So I'm able to put my feet up now. But if there's a dirty dish left in the sink, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's, if the laundry's not put in the dryer right after the wash cycle, it's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, the snow outside, I'm usually the one that shovels the snow. Okay. But, you know, the last snowfall, we did the sidewalk and the porch, the driveway. It's okay.
It really is.
The sun will come out and melt it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's almost melted, but after 20 years of being here, it's just, it's okay, you know?
Yeah.
I'm getting to the point, someone told me you need to accept that little boy that's knocking on the door with a shovel in his hand. Give him a few bucks, you know. Yeah. I've given out, well, it's a little more than a few bucks, but nowadays, yeah, when I was younger, it was only a few bucks, but yeah, it's just, you know, the little things, the spilt milk from my grandson. It's okay.
Right.
You know, yeah. There's bigger things to worry about in the universe. So.
Yeah. And I do. I think that's very important because especially if it's a new mom and dad, you know, mm-hmm. and it's their first child mm-hmm. and, you know, they have their friends who maybe have already had children and their mm-hmm. children are not going through the same struggles that your child is going through. And you're like, well, their house always looks neat every time we go over. There's never dishes in their sink or, right. you know, they always seem like they're well rested, you know, or their clothes are always, you know, mm-hmm. nice or whatever. Mm-hmm. They don't live your life.
Right.
So, right. you know, you do you, I guess is the saying, but, it really is. You need to give yourself that permission to take the time with your child.
Mm-hmm. Reach out for help when you need it. Yeah.
Yeah. And like you said, don't sweat that small stuff. And that small mm-hmm. stuff is the dishes don't have to be done every single day.
Right.
The laundry might not need to be folded and put away immediately after it comes out of the dryer. Right. You know, maybe you have older children, you know, or maybe you ask your spouse or you just say to the neighbor, hey, you know, you offered to help me when the baby was born. And do you think you could come and help me?
Yeah,
I know that that is difficult. Mm-hmm. I most definitely have a difficult time asking for help. I am more than happy to give out all kinds of help.
Yeah.
But it's much harder for me to ask for help. And it's really not about pride. It's about mm-hmm. you have to take care of you in order to do your best job with your child.
Right. Yep. That's true.
says, you know, you and I who have done parenting already and our children are adults and we may or may not have listened to this same advice.
When we were going through it. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, if you, you know, and for those of you who are listening on the podcast or you're watching this as the video live stream, if you know somebody who has a child with special needs, and what would have been something for you if somebody would have knocked on your door just randomly and said, I'm here to what?
Oh my goodness.
What would have been the thing that you would have wanted the most or just thought, wow, that was an incredible amount of help?
I think it would have been stop at the grocery store and pick up something on the way, or maybe they offered to, I see a lot of meal train things when someone's mm-hmm. sick. We don't have to be sick. We're just overwhelmed, you know, maybe a casserole. I know my mom, we didn't live in the same area, but she came and picked up the kids and took them out when she was visiting me.
Okay.
So she picked them up and took them out so I could have a quiet moment.
Yeah.
Take a shower.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, we chuckle about that, but that is definitely something that mm-hmm. new moms,
right, especially
whether,
new
it
moms,
it doesn't matter, you know, whether the child has special needs or not. Right. New moms often don't get showers.
Yeah,
But even if it's not a new mom, it's a toddler mom, it's a you know, if that, depending on the unique needs of the child, the mom may not get a shower for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a single mom. That's a great one. Just asking, you know, hey, you know, do you want me to watch your kids for 20 minutes or a half an hour while you go take a shower?
Yeah.
An uninterrupted shower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so true.
It's all those things. And for those that would be the one offering, I'm sure it would feel awkward the first time you did it. But it would be worth it in the end. I really think that, you know, you would receive tenfold beyond the awkwardness. If you went ahead and asked, or you just, like she said, bring a casserole or drop off some groceries or, you know, something of that nature.
Or military families that are there by themselves, the spouses.
Yes.
I know there's a couple Master IP coaches that work with military families, and I've been there as well, being overseas without family and young kids. Just you don't realize, being outside of that setting, how much they need help.
Right. And that's another excellent point. And I think sometimes, you know, we think about those families that are overseas and not being with their families or near their families. Right. But we don't, I think, apply that same philosophy when, oh, well, you're, you know, in Colorado, but maybe your family's in Florida. Where it's like, oh, well, you know, you're still in America. You still have all the, you know, amenities and everything here in Colorado that you might have in Florida, but you still don't have your family.
Right. Right.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, definitely thinking about that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of good suggestions there. So do you want to continue to talk about your daughter, or would you like to talk about your online tutoring business? Or are you, where would you like to go next?
Well, I think we've done a lot of talking with my daughter, even though I love her and could go on and on. I'll put a blurb out there with my business.
Yes, please.
And like I mentioned before, I've been home for the last, I guess, 10 years now, come November. Tutoring. And right now I tutor just reading, and I've been certified in the Orton-Gillingham for dyslexia. So if anybody that's out there that needs a tutor for someone struggling with dyslexia, I work with kids that have dyslexia, that have ADHD. I have my little tricks of the trade that can help on the computer. It's not like COVID where a teacher and 30 kids are on the computer. I'm one-on-one. So okay. I'm right there with the students. So nothing to be afraid of. And okay. I do offer free assessments. And that's my website. I've been tweaking and updating it recently. So
looks really nice. I like the colors.
Thank you. Yeah. So, and then I have the IEP coaching as well. And anyone that has a struggling reader that struggles with like accommodations within the classroom setting, I can help tweak those so your child can be successful. It's not one across the board. They're individualized, you know.
Right, exactly.
So everybody can be different. You know, there are same. Some of them could be the same, the extra time and sure. and better seating and those kind of things. But depending on how severe that child with the dyslexia is, there's different things that I can add in there. So,
okay.
Or help.
Yeah. So is there any tab that you want me to pull up specifically, or did you cover everything?
I kind of covered.
Okay.
I mean, that's what it looks like. So,
right. And it is Castle Rock Online Reading Tutor.
Yeah.
Dot com.
The website. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Castle is CastleRock Rock Online Reading Tutor.com. And yep. I presume if they, for those who are listening, this will make it into the show notes eventually. but if they just typed in Ann Mitchell, they would probably be directed to your website as well.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Perfect. All right.
That or my YouTube channel, one or the other.
Oh, I didn't realize you had a YouTube channel. I have your Facebook here, but I didn't have a YouTube pulled up for you.
Yeah.
So is that also okay. called Castle Rock?
It's Ann Mitchell Online Reading Tutor, actually.
Okay. Okay.
They just did an update where you could get your own little tag thing.
Yeah, I'm still working on that. I don't have mine done yet.
Yeah.
I didn't have enough subscribers until recently. And so now that I have enough subscribers, then
I know.
That's okay. Everybody's got their thing. And that's
So. And it took me a while too. So,
yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, Ann, I always try to remember to ask my guests at the end or close to the end, you know, if you've gotten to say everything you wanted to say, if you have any final words or encouragement or advice.
Just if someone told me way back when, you're not on an island, there's always someone else out there struggling, and just reach out for help.
Yeah.
You know, just don't sweat the small stuff.
Right. Two big pieces of great advice. Figure out what is the small stuff and then don't sweat it.
Yeah. Because everybody's small stuff is different.
Right.
You know.
Right. Yeah, it absolutely is. And and then reach out for help. And there are so many services now. Online and I mean we just live in such a great age for being able to find stuff that way. And if you need anything that is specific to dyslexia, or maybe even some if you're going through a mental health crisis with one of your own children, Anne mentioned earlier that she would be happy for you to reach out to her. And she would help you as any way that she could. And myself as well. I also, I work with some mental health organizations and I organize a mental health walk every year. And, so I have a few resources, not a lot, cause most of mine are specific to my area, but, always happy to reach out and, try to help somebody if I can. Yes. And then, if you need Master IEP Coach, services, you can reach out to either one of us. We both do that. And definitely if you want to do online tutoring, reach out to Castle Rock Online Reading Tutor.com and you will find Anne.
Yep.
And thank you to everyone who is listening. Be sure to subscribe or like to this channel, or to this page, depending on where you're watching and listening today. And as this gets rolled out as a podcast, be sure to download and like and leave comments and all those great and wonderful things so that we continue to be shown and people can find us and tell more stories, because that is the great thing about the age that we live into is that everybody's got a story to tell. And if it's about busting through limits, I am happy to share that story with the world. So thank you, Anne, for being my guest today. And
thank you,
everyone who has watched, and we will see you next week.
Thank you.
Hey, parents and teachers, are you tired of IEP meetings that feel like a battle? Let's put an end to the tension and create a collaborative, calm, and respectful environment together. Shelly Kino, your go-to IEP consultant, can transform your meetings into positive and productive experiences. With Shelly Kino, your child is her top priority, your voice is heard, and you become confident. Shelly Kino is making the world better for all, one IEP at a time. Visit www.shellykino.com for more information and set up your free 20-minute consultation today. That's shellykino.com, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y-K-E-N-O-W.